Welcome, church family. Welcome, children, youth, young adults, moms and dads, singles, and our seniors. And as you know, we have started counting, and in a couple of more weeks, we will be meeting in person. I can't wait, and I know most of you can't wait for us to get back together. But let me also welcome those of you who are our virtual guests of our Mangaravat Church today. Thank you for joining us today. We hope one day to see you in person. But let's now start with prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come corporately to give you praise and honor and glory, for you are worthy. There is none like you. You created us and you sustain us, and in Jesus you saved us. So we gladly come to worship you this morning as our Creator and as our Sustainer and Redeemer. Father, on behalf of our church family, I extend gratitude for your goodness and mercy that we have experienced in previous week. You reminded us that your grace is sufficient to us, and on top of it, you gave us food, shelter, work, health, children. I thank you for giving us the mission moment opportunities last week where we could serve and be of help to those in need. Father, our prayer today is for more of those opportunities where we can extend your grace and love you give to us. We pray for the opportunities where the kingdom of God can be extended through us individually. Father, we pray for the outpouring of your Spirit, which will manifest himself first in hunger and thirst for more of you in our lives, and this time, and that the same Spirit who will open the doors of reaching to those in need of Jesus. Father, we pray for the sick, lonely, and brokenhearted. Open our eyes and hearts that we may give of our time and means to them. But also we pray that you visit them by the power of your Spirit and that you minister to them. Father, we pray that you will bless us today with the presentation of your word. May your Spirit take the word and lodge it in our minds and hearts so it can flourish in our lives. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let me share with you some of the church announcements. Well, most importantly, about the church reopening. And as you know, the church at its business meeting decided that August 1 will be the date that we return back to church. The good news is that there is one specific easing of restrictions which will mean a lot to us. You see, as we gather back in church, we will be able to sing as a congregation. That's really great news, isn't it? Now, also let me remind you, we are still aiming to hold two church services. The first one is at 8 o'clock and it goes till 10 o'clock. And please make sure that if you're interested or you know of people who might be interested in attending this service, that you register for this service and you let them know. Please go to our church webpage and make sure that you register. Or if you would prefer to go to the second service, which starts at 11 o'clock, please make sure, again, that you register. Go to our church webpage, or if you have a problem doing so, either write to me personally or call me, myself or Jared, and we'll try to, and make sure actually that you write your name and address and contact details, so in order that you can register. Another one, which is always an important one for us, a church website. Make sure that you familiarize yourself with our church webpage. As all info you need to know about church is pretty much found there. And once again, if you have not downloaded our church app, please make sure to download it. And if you do this, you will have majority of information about our church pretty much at your fingertips. Make sure you follow our church blogs, make use of our church sermons and sermon notes, which you can follow during the sermon time period. And once again, the closing Sabbath time starts around 5:15. Join us for the closing of Sabbath today at 5:15. I also want to remind you that there will be no EG White presentation today, which we typically have around 2 o'clock. So no, we won't have it today. And once again, join any of the weekly church activities we typically have. Monday night, Steps to Christ reading and discussion group. Midweek prayer meeting. I want to remind those of you who typically come to midweek prayer meetings on Wednesday, join us at 7 o'clock. Thursday morning, 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Those of you who would like to join us, we want to be the church of prayer. So join us for Thursday morning, 5 a.m. And once again, if you are in need of financial help or you know somebody within a church who you think struggles financially, please let us know. And now the time has come for our church offerings and tithes. And the church offering for today is for Australian Union Conference COVID-19 Ministry. I want to thank you personally for your generous donation today. In fact, during the video, you have the opportunity to give either electronically or put your tithes and offerings in a kitty that you have set aside and are planning to bring to church soon. So once again, thank you for your generous giving. Now let's watch this video.
As we look back over the past few months, we've seen many changes in the way we operate as a church. We're less able, even now, to meet together, and we care for our offerings differently. There were earlier thoughts that the income for the church would reduce. What we have seen is God's blessings and the faithfulness of you, our members. In Australia, as a result of the work that had been undertaken previously, we have been better placed than areas of the church around the world. Using Zoom to meet and e-giving to enable the collection of offerings, we've been better placed than a number of other church groups. As God continues to bless each of us, we need to look at different ways to reach out to our communities and share God with them. Thank you again for your faithfulness.
Peter is absolutely right. God has greatly blessed our local churches, schools, and our aged care facilities over the last 4 months. We here at the Union and right around all the conferences have been so encouraged by how church members have continued to support the various ministries of the church. You know, the faithful return of offerings and tithes has meant that mission here in Australia has continued to not only operate strongly, but in some areas, new initiatives have been employed, and we've seen significant ministry growth, especially in the areas of online evangelism, radio, and our TV ministries. So many of our churches have successfully continued to operate by moving their services and support online. Local pastors, elders, teachers, chaplains, local members, you know, they've all done a superb job in keeping as many in contact and community as possible. We have been really encouraged by what you as a church have been able to achieve in such a short time. You know, you've been committed to continuing to serve each week in challenging times, and you're coming up with new and creative ways to do ministry and share Jesus in our new normal. You know what? It's been most impressive. The Australian Bureau of Statistics reports that there are around 22 million internet users in Australia today. You know, that constitutes around 88% of our population, and 93% of those internet users, they go online daily. Social media is now one of the key ways that we communicate in Australia, and there are over 18 million active users logging into things like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter every single day. So you can see why we are really keen to leverage these platforms for ministry. The AUC would really like to further support our local conferences in their plans to build and strengthen their online ministries. We would love to continue our support in the areas of things like online evangelism, ministry resources, things that can be accessed by local conferences, churches, schools, aged care facilities, all of this type of thing. So on July 11, a special offering has been set aside. This is an Australia-wide offering, and it will be dedicated to supporting local ministry projects and ministry opportunities that have arisen during this crisis. You know, whether it's through our schools, our local churches, or our aged care facilities, any ministry opportunity that has come about. With your sustained generosity and support, we'll be able to take the things that we've learnt about ministry during this time and significantly increase the influence and reach of the Adventist Church, both in the traditional ways that we're used to, but also in this new digital space. I encourage you and invite you to please give generously. Pray for what the Lord will do with that generosity as He builds the mission of the church through you. You know, we are better when we work together, and through our faithful generosity, we will see the mission of God move forward in new and exciting ways. Thank you for your faithfulness. May God continue to bless you in your local ministry.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. May your blessing rest on each giver today. Thank you for physical and mental strength you have given us all so we could work and provide not only for our families but for others too. Thank you that we can give generously towards the advancement of your gospel. And our prayer is in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you know, we have been covering the theme in our sermon presentations called I Am. God would say and Jesus would say, I am. The special music item you will hear now will lift your mind and heart to our God who has many different names, and each name is very meaningful and carries the great weight of importance. So the title of the special item is The Names of God, followed by special item is a sermon by Pastor Jared Martin.
Jehovah Sabaoth, El Olam. Good morning. Great to have you with us for our church program this morning. And a big welcome to you from my lounge room to yours, wherever you're listening, across Brisbane, perhaps across the world. It's cool that you have joined us this morning. We are trying something a little bit different. We have pre-recorded the whole sermon to try and make it a little bit more engaging, a bit more interactive. So kids, this one is for you. I hope you like it. And this is how it will work. The sermon will be in three parts, and at the beginning of each part, I'll present some material. There'll be some videos playing in the background, so kids, make sure you're watching. Next, I'll give you some questions to reflect on or discuss with the people that you're with. You can pause the recording just like a normal video on YouTube or Facebook and take as long as you would like to go through the questions. When you're done, press play, watch part two, then pause it, discuss the questions, watch part three, do the questions, and then you are finished. I'm hoping this style of sermon will be interesting. I'm hoping it'll be fun, especially when we're in our homes and not physically together at church. So we'll give it a try. Now, we're finishing our sermon series on the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus uses this phrase seven times. The first is when he says, "I am the bread of life." To begin, I want you to pause the recording and see if you can remember the six other I am statements that Jesus makes. I'll put the references up here if you need a hint. So pause the video and see how many you can remember. When you're ready, click play and we'll keep on going. Here's the answers. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. Now today we're going to look at where this term I am comes from and what it teaches us about God. So I invite you to pause the video once more, get your Bible, read through Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 14 with your friends or family or by yourself, whoever you're with. Then say a prayer and then we'll begin our Bible study together. Okay, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro." If you're tending something, you're actively looking after it. But in the original Hebrew, it says that Moses was watching the sheep. The verb for watching describes continuance. And so a good translation would be that Moses was watching and watching and watching the sheep. Moses' life is at a dead end, but it never used to be this way. He grew up in Egypt, which at that time was the greatest nation on earth. He'd been adopted by one of Pharaoh's daughters and was raised in the royal palace. He had the best house, the best food, the best education, the best military training, the best everything. He could do whatever he wanted. He was even chosen to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But then one day, he discovered that he was an Israelite. All the other Israelites were slaves, and Moses wants to do something about it. He wants to help his people, so he becomes an activist. One day, he sees an Egyptian beating up an Israelite. Moses is furious, so he kills the Egyptian. The Pharaoh finds out and he's mad. He thinks Moses is trying to start a rebellion to take his throne. He puts out the order for Moses to be killed, but Moses finds out and flees into the desert. This is where we find him now, watching and watching and watching the sheep. He's been doing this for the last 40 years. He's 80 years old now, this old man sitting out in the desert watching sheep. From a prince to a shepherd, from riches to poverty, from popularity to nothingness. Moses is a failure. He's got nothing left, nothing that would make him a good leader. He's lost all his confidence, and this is when God turns up and says, "Now you're ready. You're 80 years old. You don't know anyone anymore. No one remembers you. So now you're ready. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt, and I want you to do it now. Moses responds, God, you're crazy. There's no way I can do that. Everything's gone wrong for Moses. He's got nothing left. And that's when God turns up and says, now you're finally ready to work with me. Time for a discussion. Here's the questions. Has there been a time in your life when something has gone terribly wrong? What happened? And did God feel close or far away? That's question one. Question two, why would God wait until everything has gone wrong before he steps in and does something? The story of Lazarus might give you some clues. So I'll leave the questions here on the screen. You can pause the video, think about it, have a chat, and then press play when you're ready for part two. Okay, time for part two. Moses, he's out in the wilderness. He sees a bush on fire and he decides to go over, the Bible says, and see what it is. In Hebrew, this phrase tells us that there was some type of ravine or valley that Moses had to cross to get to the burning bush. You can see it here in the video. Now, what if Moses was lazy and just said, burning bush, can't be bothered. That would be the last we hear of Moses in the Bible, wouldn't it? What if he was like, burning bush, that can't be real. I'm sure there's a rational explanation for it. And he just walked away. We'd never hear about him again, would we? What if Moses was like so many people today and said, I'm offended by that bush. Someone put out the fire. Moses could have reacted in a million different ways, but for whatever reason, he decided to go over to the bush and it's on fire. Now, why does God appear as fire? Verse 2 says, God appeared in a blazing fire. The bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. Why does God appear as fire and not wind or water or anything else? Why fire? Fire engages our senses. You experience fire. You don't just think about it. If you've been camping or if you've got a fireplace or even if you've just got a candle, you know what this is like. You can see fire. It's bright. You can feel fire. It's hot. You can smell fire, the smoke. You can hear fire, the roar and the crackle of the flames. You don't believe in fire. You experience fire. This is why God appears as fire. He's not an abstract idea that you got to try and wrap your head around. He's a living being that you can experience. Now, with water and dirt and physical objects, you can change them by touching them. You can move them around. You can't do this with fire. If you try to touch it, if you try to move it, it changes you. Fire changes whatever it touches. So does God. We can have intellectual knowledge about him, but it's when we have a personal relationship with him that our lives are changed. This is what happened to Moses. This is why Bible commentators call this burning bush experience Moses' conversion experience. He submitted himself to God, and God changed his life forever. Time to pause the video again, and here's the questions to discuss. The first one is for the kids especially. What does the word conversion mean? I want you to discuss this with your kids. It's an important word. What does conversion mean? And then for everyone, what was your burning bush moment? What made you say, I want a relationship with Jesus? Not just his head knowledge, I want a relationship with him. So there's your questions. You can pause the video and press play when you're ready to continue. For the final part of our Bible study, I'd like you to think about Moses' question in verse 3. Why isn't the bush burning up? He asks. Fires depend on fuel. They have to have something to burn, otherwise the fire goes out. But this fire is different. For some reason, it's not consuming the bush. For some reason, this fire doesn't need fuel. This fire isn't dependent on anything to keep it burning. This fire, it somehow fuels its own existence. And so this fire is the answer to Moses' question. God talks with Moses and he says, go to Egypt, lead my people out of slavery. Moses says, God, I'm not that keen to go. God says, but I'll be with you. Moses says, fine, but when I get there, they'll say, who sent you? And I don't even know what your name is. So what do I tell them? God replies, tell them that I am has sent you. Now, this name is something that we all wrestle with because it just doesn't make sense. It's not a normal name like Jared or Karina or Oscar. It's not a noun. This name, I am, it's a verb. The verb is to be. So you can translate this sentence as tell them that I am has sent you, or you can translate it, tell them that being itself has sent you. It is hard to comprehend, but if we want to understand it, we just need to think about what God's already shown to Moses, a fire that doesn't need fuel. The fire is showing us what God is telling us. I have no beginning or end, says God. I always am. There's never a time when I was. There's never a time when I will be, because I always am. No one, nothing created me, because I am the one who created everything. All existence has its existence in me, says God. Now, this is not some, you know, weird idea that's squashed, hidden off in Exodus 3. God keeps telling us this. He keeps telling us what he's like throughout the whole Bible. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. This is what I am says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the I am of heaven's armies. I am the first and the last. There is no other God but me. I am. There is no other Savior. I am. That is my name, says God. I am, and I do not change. I am the Lord. There is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Nothing created God, but God created everything. God depends on nothing, yet everything depends on him. It's a crazy concept to think about, but Jesus made it simple for us. He made it personal. He said, I am the bread of life. He's saying, without me, you'll always be searching for something to fill that empty space in your heart. So choose me, says Jesus. I am the light of the world. Without Jesus, we'll just stumble through life in the dark. I am the door. Without Jesus, we can't enter into a relationship with God. I am the good shepherd. Without Jesus, we'll never be safe. I am the resurrection and the life. Without Jesus, we'll never have hope in the afterlife. I am the way, the truth, the life. Without Jesus, we'll so easily be led astray by deceptions and lies. And then I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing, says Jesus. That one explains itself. If you read the stories around these seven I am statements, you'll see what Jesus is like. And if you want to know even more about what he's like, there's an eighth I am statement. In John chapter 8, the religious leaders are arguing with Jesus and they say, "How dare you contradict us? Don't you know who we are? We are children of Abraham. Are you greater than Abraham?" Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am." Some people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, good luck trying to convince the Jews. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying, which is why they tried to kill him right then and there, right on the spot. But the Bible says that Jesus turned invisible and just walked away. It's a pretty big miracle. It's pretty crazy, but for Jesus, it's simple. You got to remember, he just spoke and the universe came into existence. He can go invisible if he wants because he's God. Jesus is I am. Now, what does this all mean? It means that when you see Jesus, when you read about him in the Gospels, when you meet Jesus, you're meeting God. When we see Jesus and his love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace, his patience and kindness, we can know that this is exactly what God is like. We know that when we see Jesus and he says, "Hey, I'm bringing judgment," that this is the best news ever, because Jesus tells us so many times that everyone who believes in him, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. This is Jesus' promise to us. This is who Jesus is. This is what I am is like. This is why we can have hope for the future, and it's this message that the whole world needs to hear. I'm going to leave you now with this final question to reflect on and discuss. Which I am statement means a lot to you? We've been going through them in this sermon series. We've touched on them all today. Which one means a lot to you and why? What is special about it for you? That's our final question, but I have a bonus question if you'd like to check that one out as well. What is the ninth I am statement in the Gospel of John? I put the reference there. You can check it out. It's a pretty cool one as well. So here's the questions to discuss. This is where we will end our sermon for today. When you're done, please say a prayer with the group that you're in, and then we're done. I wish you all a happy Sabbath and God's blessings.